The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Amen. Amen. That was good. That was good. You know, we talked last week. It was the first of the year. We talked about how the Lord showed me that we need to look at the life of King David and take some lessons from that life as we move through this new year. You know, every day there are challenges that we're going to face. And this year will be no different as we walk day by day. But the Lord equips us and he prepares us for each and every challenge that we come up against. And you always have to remember that. You know, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, right? And so we just walk that out through the power he gives us by the Holy Spirit inside of us. Amen? Yes. Amen. So, Father, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for those you brought. I ask you to open up our hearts and minds to you, Father, that we would follow you in the way that you've called us, Father, being sensitive to your Spirit's leading and with an obedient heart. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So remember last time we started with King David and the prophet anoints him king, right? So now we take up with the rest of the story here. And, you know, so what happens now? King David is anointed king, right? Out of all the brothers, he's chosen. He's king. And so they take him up, and they make a big parade, and they take him to the palace, and he lives happily ever after, right? No, that's not what happens at all, right? Well, let's read what happens, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to read verses 14 through 23 first, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Classic. So the first thing we see now, it says, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." Now, as I've looked through the scriptures, David is the only person that I can see in the Old Testament where it said the Spirit of God rested on him and never left. Okay? That's the first thing we got to remember, because the Spirit departed from Saul, who is the present king at this time, right? And then look what it says. "And an evil spirit, Lord, tormented and troubled him." When you don't have the protective covering of the Lord, you open yourself up for all types of things. Just so you know, that's something that we can learn from that. And then look what it says. "Saul's servants said to him, 'Behold, an evil spirit from God torments you.'" Well, they recognize that too. "Let our Lord now command your servants here before you to find a man who plays skillfully on the lyre," which is like a guitar with no handle. I looked it up. What's it? It don't have a neck. That's a handle. He's got a handle on it. That's a handle on it. "And when the evil spirit from God is upon you, he will play it and you will be well. Saul told his servants, 'Find me a man who plays well and bring him here.'" You know, when you're in trouble, people always have suggestions. Not that that was a bad suggestion, but here's the thing. If I see someone being tormented in a spiritual way, why didn't they call Samuel? Really? Why didn't they call Samuel and say, "Hey, Samuel, there's a problem here, a spiritual issue"? Well, you know why they didn't call Samuel? Because he didn't want to hear what Samuel had to say, just so you know. That's something we can always learn. People are always willing to give advice in your troubles, but choose your counsel wisely. Something we can learn. "So one of the young men said, 'I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who plays skillfully, a valiant man, a man of war, prudent in speech." That means he thought before he talked. "An eloquent, an attractive person, and the Lord is with him." So people recognize that King David, I'm going to call him King David because he is, he was a valiant man, but they recognize that the Lord was with him. See, the thing is, as you walk out this life, people are going to recognize the Lord's with you. They will. They'll recognize not only is he with you, he's in you. Amen? All right. "So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, 'Send me David, your son, who is with the sheep. They knew he was a sheep herder. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a skin of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, to Saul. And David came to Saul and he served him. Saul became very fond of him. And he became his armor bearer. It's kind of like your war valet. He carried your stuff, had it with you, and fought for you too. Saul sent to Jesse saying, "Let David remain in my service, for he pleases me." And when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, David would take his lyre and he played it. So Saul was refreshed and became well, and the evil spirit left him. Being around people of God, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And music and worship is a powerful spiritual weapon, people. Amen? That's why I'm always so thankful we have our people here and we get to praise him together. All right, so now we go to chapter 17. So turn the page. 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to read to y'all a little bit, but we're taking lessons, right? Okay. 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. I'm reading out the New Living Translation now. Philistines mustered their army for battle and camped between Sukkah in Judah and Azekah at Ephesidim. Hey, close enough. I didn't look at the map. Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the Valley of Elah. So the Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley in between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. Now here it says he was over 9 feet tall. In some studies, he was between 10 and 12 feet in height. Now I'm about 6 foot, a little over. Okay? This is a big boy, right? He wore a bronze helmet and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. That's impressive. He also wore a bronze leg armor and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was heavy and thick as a weaver's beam. Yeah, that'd be big. Tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Okay, this would be intimidating, right? Okay. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me." What can we learn here? The enemy always shows up scary looking. Your situation, your problems are scary looking. They appear giant-like, right? I mean, every doctor's report, yuck. Right? You know, every bank statement, yuck, right? Your problems always appear like giants. And you know what else? They're loud. They're loud. They taunt in your mind, right? Why? They want attention, right? Your problems want attention. The enemy wants to use situations and circumstances in your life to draw attention. What does Goliath say? Verse 9. "If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you'll be ours." The enemy always wants you to fight under his terms too, by the way. "I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." Now when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Yep, their eyes were on the problem. And they were terrified and deeply shaken. Fear, you know how you hear me always say, pain is a great motivator, and it is. Pain will motivate you to change your situation, your circumstance. You know what else motivates people? Fear. It never motivates them in the right way, but it moves people. Animals are scared. You ever been with a scared animal? You're in trouble. Because they're going to do crazy things. Verse 12. "Now David was the son of a man named Jesse." It's almost like we never heard about him. "An Ephrathite from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Jesse was an old man at that time, and he had 8 sons. Now Jesse's 3 oldest sons, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shimeah, had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistines. Now David was the youngest son. David's 3 oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army. But David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. Listen, the biblical accounts aren't always chronological, but we don't necessarily know the chronology of these events. We don't. I looked it up, okay? But I'm going to say, at this time, David has been anointed king already. He already has. We know that. And I believe he's already served Saul by playing the half guitar. I didn't know what a lyre was. It's kind of a half thing. But the point is, what happened to David after he is anointed king in front of all, in front of Jesse, Samuel said he's king. He got sent back to the sheep. Now, what do you think David was thinking? Have you ever been called to something you know God called you to it? He did. You had that experience, that moment where God spoke to you something you knew was true. Wake up the next day ready to take it. We're going to have this promise today. Day ended up, and tomorrow ended up like the day today and yesterday before, and here we are. And you know the promise God spoke to you, and yet your situation hadn't changed yet. There's a lesson we can learn here, people. All right. Verse 16. For 40 days, every morning and every evening, the Philistine champions strutted, I think that's funny, strutted in front of the Israelite army. Now you have to understand, in the Bible, 40 signifies new life, new growth, and transformation. There's a reason that God's people were in the desert 40 years. Verse 17. One day Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they're doing. Verse 19. David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. They weren't really fighting. They were just kind of against each other. So David left the sheep with another shepherd, and he set out early the next morning with the gifts, as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. They were just talking, guys. Soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, and he hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. The same brothers that were sitting there as he got anointed king, by the way. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Have you seen the giant? The men asked. Have you seen him? Have you seen this monstrous problem I got? He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. Hey. David heard that. David asked the soldier standing nearby, now what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? So what's the reward here? Look what he says. Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? David doesn't say the armies of Saul. He doesn't say my army. He was the king in his heart. He didn't say this is my army this giant's defying. He didn't say that. He said this is God's army. Interesting, huh? So you always have to remember these things about David. He was a man after God's own heart. We already know that, right? We discussed that last week. The Spirit of God was on him and didn't leave him. And at this point, he's already been anointed king. These things. He recognizes this as he steps into this situation. See, you got to know who you are. Step into every situation. You got to know who God has called you to be, right? It says in Romans that the giftings and callings of God are irrevocable. I've had some people say, well, you know, I was gifted in this way, but that was so many years ago. No, not in God's way of thinking. The giftings and callings you have, you had when he gave them to you, and you'll have them forever. Irrevocable means they don't go away. Amen? All right. Verse 27. And these men gave David the same reply. They said, yes, that is the reward for killing him. Verse 28. But when David's oldest brother, anybody got an older brother? Let's not talk about it. Eliab heard David talking to the men. He was angry. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep? Those few sheep. What about those measly little sheep that you watch over? That you're supposed to be taking care of. I know about your pride and deceit. You just won the battle. You just came to look. What have I done now? David replied. I was only asking a question. He walked over to some of the others and asked them the same thing. And received the same answer. Was David deterred from someone close to him discouraging him? No. That would kind of stink. Your older brother putting you down for asking a simple question. Jealousy there? Probably. Don't let people close to you, even people close to you, get in the way of what God's called you to do. Okay? Listen, you love them. You pay attention, you have a good heart, but you listen to what God says. Amen? It's a lesson we can learn right there. All right. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. Verse 32. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Verse 33. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There is no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. See, Saul was stating the facts of the situation. See, we know that at this time, David had to be, he had to be between 12 and probably 18. He's a kid, guys. And this king is looking at this 10-footer and then looking at this little boy. I said, what are you talking about? And yet David spoke boldly. David knew who he was. See, think about, what's David thinking? Am I king yet? No. God said I was going to be. This guy can't kill me. There's no way. I was called to be king. See, God has a promise for you. You will receive that promise through believing what God said and patience, making sure you don't stop believing for however long it takes. And that's the lesson you need to learn. We all need to walk in that lesson. Amen? All right. But David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club. And I rescue the lion from, or the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. Guys, over there, when they say lion, they're not talking about the bobcats that I have up on the hill. Not even a mountain lion. A lion? He's talking about a real lion. We understand bears. I don't want to grab a bear by its mouth either. But David did. Because he was bold. But why was he bold? He was bold because the Lord had anointed and called him. He did what needed to be done because the Lord is with him. Amen. And here's something to remember. We keep talking about the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. Is the Lord with you? Always. Right? We talk about the ABCs of salvation. A, admitting and acknowledging, I need a Savior. I have sinned, I need a Savior. B, believing Jesus is my Savior. And C, confessing that with my mouth. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart he rose from the dead, I will be saved. The Spirit of the Lord, that moment, the Holy Spirit comes inside of my spirit and seals me unto the day of redemption. There is your evangelism call right there. There's the truth. You don't know what I'm talking about? Come talk to me. See, I'm not here to get you into heaven. The Holy Spirit calls people. He's the only one that'll get you there by you believing that Jesus died for your sins, right? When he tells me, I'll tell you all about it. If you don't know what I'm saying, please talk to anybody in here. Look to your left, look to your right. They can share the truth of the gospel with you, I promise you. What I'm here to do is train you and equip you to do what? To do the work of the ministry. To share Jesus with whoever anybody has, to share encouragement, to share lessons that you learn as you walk with the Lord and as the Holy Spirit leads you. That's what I'm here to do. Amen? That was a pause for a cause. All right. I'm pretty close. All right. I've done this with both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Again, it's not the armies of Saul. It's the armies of the living God. Verse 37, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear. He knew who delivered him, will rescue me from this Philistine. See, he didn't rely on himself or even on his own experiences. He recognizes from his experience that God was with him and that that's who he had to rely on. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead and may the Lord be with you. Good luck. But I better do something with this boy. So, Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. Hey, in the natural, that made sense. You better get some tools, boy. You're going to go in a fight. David put it on. He strapped the sword over it and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. When you're called to do something, there's people that may try to help you, and they may mean well, right? But again, God is the only one that can tell you what you need for whatever situation, okay? Something we can learn from that. I've had people tell me how I need to pastor a church, and I listen. See, David tried it on. I listen. I say, okay, Lord, what do you think about this? What do you think? We better start church at 11. That's a better time, you know. All the books say that's when you should start. Lord, what time do you want to start church? Please don't say 7 or 8 in the morning. That's too early. I make my request known to God. See, the thing is, and people may have the right heart trying to help you. Please don't misunderstand me. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't fit, it's not for you. And God will tell you what fits, and he'll give you peace in it. That's what he's the only one that can give you that peace. David put that on. He didn't have any peace. He's like, this isn't me. I can't do this. And so he took it off, even though the king had given it to him. Verse 40. So he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream, and he put them into his shepherd's bag. See, David started a shepherd, and he never stopped being a shepherd. He was a man after God's own heart. Who's the good shepherd? Yeah, amen. Then he armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Man. Verse 41. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. When you go out into battle with the enemy, he's going to get louder. When you're doing the things God's told you to do, the enemy He's going to ramp up anything he can to scare you. Does he have any power? Jim already read the scriptures. The only power the enemy has is the power we give to him. We relinquish. There's power that the enemy has. Please hear my words closely. To say that the enemy doesn't have power would be a lie. The enemy has power, but no authority. Understand that. The enemy has power, but no authority. Who has the authority? We do. We do. When we exercise that authority, the enemy becomes powerless. Amen? But remember, we can only operate in authority when we're under his authority. All right. Another pause for a cause. Okay. Where am I at now? Okay. There we go. Verse 45, David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin. You come to me in these natural things, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." He knew where his power and strength came from. Verse 46, "Today the Lord will conquer you, and I'll kill you and cut off your head. And then I'll give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel." Amen. Praise God. Verse 47, "And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." Whew. That was bold, guys. That was bold. You think David had faith? Faith means he believed God. He didn't believe in God. He believed God. God told him and he says, "Okay, that's true. So be it. I'm going to walk it out." I love this part. Verse 48. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. There wasn't any fear here. Verse 49, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and he hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Then the Israel and Judah gave a great shout of triumph, and they rushed after the Philistines, chasing them as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron. The bodies of the dead and the wounded Philistines were strewn all along the road from Shaaraim as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the Israelite army returned, and they plundered the deserted Philistine camp. David took the Philistines to Jerusalem, but he stored the man's armor in his own tent. As Saul watched David go out to fight the Philistine, he asked Abner, the commander of his army, "Abner, whose son is this young man?" "I really don't know," Abner declared. "We'll find out who he is." Again, maybe the chronology is a little messed up. But I don't think Saul was ever in his right mind after the Lord left him. I think he was just seeking relief from things. You know, I believe David had served in his household. It said Saul was fond of him. But even then, David was kind of forgotten. Guys, just because you're forgotten by men, God never forgets you. And he does not ever forget the call he put on your life. You see, David could have come and said, "Listen, Saul, remember me? Don't you remember me? Don't you know who I am? I helped you do this." No. He didn't worry about what was happening in the natural. He just followed what the Lord told him. So many times we get hung up in the natural with people. Man, why did he treat me that way? And it gets us off our purpose. Does that make sense? You know, you go to do something and somebody can kind of mess you up by saying something crazy. I've been there. I knew I was on a mission to do something and somebody said slows me down. It'll always put those types of things in your way. That's a lesson. Guys, I'm reading this learning. I'm saying, Lord, show me from your historical account of what happened. Because if David's a man after your own heart, I want to know about King David. I want to know about him. I want to know how can I be to walk out a life where I can be a man after your own heart too. I know your spirit's inside of me. You see, when I think about stuff like that, it said, Moses, I speak face to face, right? That's what the word says. Moses, God said, I speak through the prophets, but Moses, I speak face to face because he's my friend. When I think about Moses, I think, man, face to face. I was thinking about that this morning in the shower. Lord, you spoke to Moses face to face. And you know what he told me? He says, Monty, would you rather be face to face or heart to heart? I'd rather be heart to heart with you, God. If face to face, I'll probably die. But heart to heart, you'll take care of me. You see, David was a man after his own heart. Called to do a purpose. Called to do something that God only wanted him to do. And you say, well, that was David. But what about me? He has a thing only you can do. Each and every one of you, only you. God made you on purpose for a purpose. And he gave you his spirit to guide you for every step in that purpose. And he gave us his word so we can take lessons from his word to apply to accomplish the thing he wants accomplished for his purposes. All he wanted was somebody willing to do it for him. Man, that's good. As soon as David returned from killing Goliath, Abner brought him to Saul and the Philistine's head still in his hand. Tell me about your father, young man, Saul said. And David replied, name is Jesse and we live in Bethlehem. See, David had to be a humble young man there. Man. Because, again, in the natural, if I know I'm going to be king, and I just proved it. You see the head? God, is this not the time that I walk into this? Really? Here I am. He did what God told him to do.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Tomorrow